We turn once again to the 42nd Psalm. This evening I want to look with you at the problem of depression. I am not trying to be morbid or even macabre at the end of this communion weekend. But I want to look at this area through this psalm because at this time of the year, some of us, maybe many of us, are exposed to the danger of depression. And how easy it is and how quickly the spiritual exhilaration of a communion weekend can give way to spiritual darkness and depression. Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 were written by a man who had experienced the depths of depression. And here in Psalm 42, he tells us the causes of depression, the symptoms of depression, and the steps out of depression. Three reasons he gives us for the experience of depression. First, there is spiritual isolation. He says in verse 1, and within his own heart he says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My entire being thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before the face of God? God seemed to be so far away, and the face of God seemed to be so hidden from the experience of the psalmist. And the hiddenness of God and the seeming inaccessibility of God plunged him into spiritual isolation and therefore depression. Spiritual isolation is the first reason for depression. Secondly, there is social isolation. In verse 3 he says, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? And he repeats it in verse 10 when he says, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? The people around him, his company, perhaps his family, but certainly his society, is mocking him, is taunting him. They are spiritually assaulting him. They are sowing the seeds of doubt within him, and they are saying to him, why do you feel this way? And where is your God in the midst of your depression? He might have thought that he would find some help with the people around him. But instead of helping him, they make things worse for him. There is spiritual isolation. There is social isolation. And then in verse 4, there is physical isolation. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. He wasn't always depressed. He had once been part of the communion of the saints. He had been part of the throng that went as a procession to Jerusalem. He had sung the praises of Israel. He had experienced the voice of joy. But for some reason that he does not explain to us in this psalm, he is now physically unable to be with the people of God. He is unable to join them in the festal celebrations of ancient Israel, and he feels cut off and physically isolated from the people and the church of God. There is spiritual isolation, there is social isolation, and there is physical isolation, and these very often are the causes of depression. And how easily it can affect us here also. For during the communion weekend, we have been so often together at our services, more often than we usually do. We have been in each other's houses for fellowship. We have sat together and we have talked and we have eaten with each other. And above all, how do we explain in human language the mystery and the wonder of sitting together at the Lord's table and knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the president of his table? The spiritual thrill, the excitement, and the exhilaration. But very quickly, like the disciples of old, we come down from the Mount of Transfiguration to face a world full of evil and devils. And how quickly the exhilaration can give way to depression. We feel spiritually isolated, physically isolated and exhausted. And when we look around for help, we find there is so little that others can do to help us. So, the causes of depression. Secondly, the symptoms of depression. And the first is given to us in verse 3 when he says, "My tears have been my food day and night." Tears and cryings are very often the first symptoms of depression. I'm not necessarily saying that everybody who cries is depressed, but the depressed person often expresses that sense of loneliness and of pain with tears. And literally, the psalmist is saying, "The salt of my tears was the only sodium within my body." That's all he had. He could not eat. He could not enjoy his drink. The tears were the only thing that entered or passed through his lips. And so there is the tears and the crying. And then in verse 5, there is the fatigue and the exhaustion that comes with depression. "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" There is a heaviness. There is a lack of energy. There is a lack of desire and delight and pleasure. There is a hardness to mingle with others and to enter into pleasure with others. And so he says, "I feel the heaviness and the distress within me." So there is the cries, there is the fatigue, but there is also the emotional disturbance. In the middle of verse 5 he says, "Why are you disquieted within me? Why have you lost your balance? Why have you lost your emotional equilibrium? What is it that is disturbing your mind and your heart? Why is it that you are in such turbulence and turmoil?" The experience of emotional disturbance is common with people suffering from depression. And then he says there is the feeling of drowning or being overwhelmed. Verse 7. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The person who is depressed, and the psalmist is depressed, and he is disquieted within himself, and life he feels is overwhelming for him. The pressure of life and living and the stress of existence, he says, is too much for me. I cannot cope with it. I feel constantly as if I am drowning, and I am drowning under the pressure of Almighty God and His affliction upon me. So there is the crying, there is the fatigue, there is the emotional disturbance, there is the feeling of drowning or overwhelming, and finally in verse 9 there is the feeling of rejection. He says to God, I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? This is the man who had gone to Jerusalem with the ancient church. This is the man who had been to the holy place of God. This is the man who had offered offerings and sacrifices. This is the man who had experienced the Day of Atonement and the forgiveness of sins. But this is the same man who says, you do not love me. You have rejected me. You have forgotten me, O God. The feeling of rejection. God does not only seem to be far away. God seems to have turned away from us. We don't seem to matter to Him. It appears as if He does not care about us anymore. Those are the symptoms of depression. We have looked then at the causes of depression, the symptoms of depression. So what are the steps out of depression? Well, I think there are four things that the psalmist does here and we can learn from him. The first thing that he does is that he owns his feelings. He acknowledges his feelings as real and true, and he acknowledges his feelings as his own. And this is how he puts it in verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My entire being thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Note the first person. He says, this is me. This is how I am feeling. And this is my cry to you. You see, it is so very tempting when we have these feelings to either deny these feelings or even to reject them. We disown our feelings. We try to disconnect ourselves from our feelings. But that doesn't help. What the psalmist does is that he takes his feelings and he acknowledges that these are the feelings within him, and he acknowledges that these are his own feelings. We cannot afford to insulate ourselves from our feelings, because that way we are not dealing with our feelings. We are simply trying to hide our feelings. So the first thing that he does is that he owns his own feelings. Secondly, he remembers the true spiritual experiences. Verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. If we are to find a way out of this darkness that is called depression, we need to train ourselves to remember and to constantly recall to ourselves and to others the rich spiritual experiences, the good, rich spiritual experiences that God has blessed us with. And so we can remember what God has done for us. We can remember how God has blessed us. We can remember how God has spoken to us when we have been part of the assembly of His people. The saints of days past used to keep a spiritual journal or a diary. And that, I think, is so very helpful. I don't have the discipline to keep one, but it is good. It is a good habit to keep a diary, so that in our moments of darkness, we can remember and reflect upon the moments of light, the moments of God's delight and pleasure upon us. That's what the psalmist does. He owns his feelings, but he also remembers the spiritual blessings and the spiritual heights that he has experienced. Thirdly, in verse 5, he speaks to his own soul. He speaks to himself, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." And he repeats it in verse 11. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." It was the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who, as you know, I'm sure, was a medical doctor before he became a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones who used to say that every morning when we rise to a new day, our heart is ready to speak to us. But before the heart speaks to us, we must speak to our heart. The heart, when it speaks to us, it speaks from its sin and from its evil. And before we are overpowered by sin and evil, we need to speak to our heart. And we need to say to our hearts, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, for He is the help of my countenance, and He is my God." Too often the person who is depressed allows his heart or her heart to speak to him, and he or she fails to speak to his or her heart. But the psalmist tells us to be different. He says, "Speak to your heart before your heart speaks to you." So he owns his feelings. He remembers the heights, the spiritual heights of the past, and he speaks to his own soul. But then finally, he prays for deliverance. We see this in verse 8. "The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life." And he repeats it in verse 11 when he says, "For I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." We need to pray for deliverance, for only Jesus Christ is the divine physician. and only God is able to grant healing. It is only God who can bring light into the midst of darkness. It is God alone who can restore, and it is God alone who can bring energy in the face of deadness. So these then are the causes of depression, the symptoms of depression, and the steps out of depression. Let me apply it in three ways as I seek to close. First of all, it means that we need to take the suffering of depression seriously. There is too much ignorance within the Church of Jesus Christ about this problem, this illness that is called depression. We need to take this seriously. And by that I mean sometimes we need to point people towards clinical help. But it certainly means that we as a church ought to pray for those in our congregation who struggle with depression. It is serious. It is serious because it is real. And it is real because it is very, very painful. So painful that in verse 10, the psalmist puts it in this way. My New King James Version says, as with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Literally in the Hebrew he says, my bones are murdered within me. My bones are murdered within me. This is living death. And he says it is easier to die than to experience the darkness of depression. That's why this is so serious. And that's why the church needs to pray for its people. But we who take the suffering seriously, secondly, we must take the sufferer seriously too, the person who is experiencing the depression. Because it is so easy, is it not, to look at a person suffering depression and say, it is because of the weakness of his faith or the poverty of his chemical composition that he is prone towards this way. And so we alienate these people, we ignore them, and we drive them to the fringes of our churches. But that's not what the psalmist says. That's not what the psalmist does. That's not the way God himself thinks. And that's why he has included these two psalms as part of the canon of Holy Scripture. We need to take the suffering seriously, but we need to take the sufferer seriously too. And you know, it is a remarkable thing that some, if not most, of the greatest saints in church history are the people who have struggled emotionally most before God. Martin Luther could write so powerfully about the hiddenness of God because he was a man who knew what it was to wrestle emotionally before the living God. And as I look at the superficiality of the worship and the shallowness of the spirituality of the contemporary evangelical church. I wonder if it is because we no longer have men and women who are prepared to struggle intensely and emotionally in the presence of God. And as I have been reflecting on this for the last 1 month, I look at myself as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I ask, if John Welsh of Ayr could struggle before the throne of grace every day for 8 hours each day for the parish and his parishioners, where are the ministers today? The church is poorer because ministers like me do not know what it is like Jacob to wrestle before God. The intensity is perhaps something we have lost. But thirdly, and very quickly, we have to be honest with ourselves and ask, is this all just popular psychology and a pep talk? Or is this rooted in truth and reality? How can we know that this is true, that all this is real? There are so many answers to that question in this psalm, but I'll only take you to 2 verses. One is in verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. And then in verse 8 he says, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. He speaks of hope, and that word literally means to wait confidently. But what was the basis of his confidence? In verse 8, he speaks of covenant love, of loving kindness. You see, the psalmist was a Jew, and he knew that God had promised a Messiah, that depression was never going to be the final word. Depression was to be overpowered by salvation, and the salvation was rooted in the work of the Messiah. And a few hundred years after the psalmist wrote these words, Messiah did come, and he came 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. After 30 years of perfect living and 3 years of unblemished ministry, what did Jesus experience? Well, he experienced physical isolation, did he not? When he was betrayed and when he was arrested at the doors of the Garden of Gethsemane, all his disciples fled from him. The friends that he had depended upon abandoned him. And even the one man who said, I will never deny you, denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. He was physically isolated, all alone in chains. He was dragged through the city of Jerusalem in the darkness of the night. But not just physically isolated, he was socially isolated too. He came unto his own, and his own refused to receive him. Who was it who rejected him? He was condemned by his own priest, and he was condemned by his own Sanhedrin, and he was mocked by his own people. But it didn't matter. All the time he had the countenance of his Father in heaven. He could do all things because his Father was for him. He was the son of the Father's love. But there, as he hangs suspended on a cruel Roman cross, surrounded by the bulls of Bashan and the beings of the wild dogs, he looks into heaven and he sees nothing but darkness. And in the anguish and the agony of his soul, he cries out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You see, spiritual isolation, social isolation, and physical isolation. He had done no wrong, but he suffered as our sin bearer. So that for you and me, if we are in Christ Jesus today, depression does not have to be the final word. The last word is not depression, it is salvation. It is rooted in the death and the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, as we come to the end of this communion season, my prayer for you is that you will enjoy the sweetness of this spiritual exhilaration for a long, long time. But if and when that exhilaration gives way to darkness and to depression, my prayer for you is that the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, until on that great and glorious final day, we meet in that new Jerusalem. We walk through the gates of pearl, and we find ourselves dancing on the streets paved with gold. May God bless his word to our hearts. We conclude by singing from Psalm 43 at verses 3 to 5. Psalm 43 at verse 3. O send thy light forth and thy truth, let them be guides to me, and bring me to thine holy hill, even where thy dwellings be. Then will I to God's altar go, to God my chiefest joy. Yea, God, my God, thy name to praise, my harp I will employ. Why art thou then cast down, my soul? What should discourage thee? And why with vexing thoughts art thou disquieted in me? Still trust in God, for him to praise, good cause I yet shall have. He of my countenance is the health, my God that doth me save. Psalm 43, verses 3 to 5, and we stand to sing to God's praise.
Oh, send thy light forth and thy truth, let them be guides to me, and bring me to thy holy hill, where thy dwelling.
To shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Amen.